that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. At Chico Art Center, the current exhibition is Bodies in Motion, a collection of photographs, paintings, and other art pieces which depict a range of different styles of dance. We'll be talking with CAC's curator and a dance anthropologist who helped choose the images displayed in this exhibit.
The song is for the painter.
And at the Paradise Art Center, next month's show will feature paintings created in various types of water media. We'll talk with one of those watercolorists. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
In Reading, Riverfront Playhouse closes its production, The Laramie Project, a documentary play based on interviews of community members reacting to the hate crime murder of university student Matthew Shepard because he was gay. The final two performances are tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. At the Cascade Theater in Reading Tuesday evening, Weird Al Yankovic brings to the stage his quirky brand of musical satire with a high-octane, big-production show starting at 8 o'clock. In Red Bluff, at the historic State Theater for the Arts, the Red Bluff Chorale and Orchestra honor our military veterans with a concert titled Americana and America. The music begins at 3 o'clock this Sunday. Tonight, at Chico's Downtown Plaza, the Friday night concert welcomes the Chuck Epperson Jr. Band. They lay down some soul, funk, blues, and jazz starting at 7 o'clock. In Chico, the Blue Room Theater ends its run of the play by David Mamet, Glengarry Glen Ross, a scathing comedy about cutthroat real estate salesmen scrambling for their piece of the American dream. Your last two chances to see this production are at 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night. The Red Tavern on the Esplanade at 3rd Avenue in Chico features North State realities and fantasies, an exhibit of paintings by Dolores Mitchell. Her subjects include Caper Acres, 1 Mile Swimming Pool, as well as orchards and rice fields surrounding Chico. MoCA, the Museum of Northern California Art in Chico, honors local veterans by displaying some of their artwork. MoCA's open 11 to 5, Thursday through Sunday. In Chico State's Arts and Humanities Building, it's the final weekend for Janet Turner Print Museum's 23rd Juried Student Printmaking Exhibition. Also at the Turner, the 16th Annual Ink Clay Art Show. Museum hours, 11 to 4 tomorrow, closed on Sunday. At Yuba City's Acting Company, the classic British crime thriller, An Inspector Calls. The play's on stage tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Born on this date, classic Hollywood film director Frank Capra. As Capra counsels, my advice to young filmmakers is this: don't follow trends, start them.
This is Dolores Mitchell. Today, I'm talking about a very unusual, exciting show at the Chico Arts Center called Bodies in Motion. I'll be speaking with gallery director Cameron Kelly, as well as the juror for the show, Fleur Williams, a dance anthropologist and freelance writer. Cameron, give us a rundown on this show and how it happened.
Bodies in Motion came about because Chico Arts Center board were very interested in reaching out to the very vibrant dance communities in Chico, the dance companies, the performing arts venues, and the audiences that love this art form. Also, we thought about how much of a community of figurative artists Chico has, especially the Chico Arts Center members. I was given the task of putting together a call for art and an exhibition that addressed the subject matter of dance. I set about researching, and I came across a dance anthropology Instagram page filled with photographs of a variety of every kind of dance more than I ever knew were possible. I reached out to the person that runs the Instagram page, and it turned out to be Fleur Williams, who I happened to go to high school with. I was really excited to recognize the name and have some kind of in. I reached out to her and I asked her about her Instagram page and how she made her selections. Where was she finding these artists? And Chico Arts Center was looking for a juror for an exhibition about dance. That started the conversation. She was working on several articles on dance, which is what she does normally. I asked her, if you were to select artwork for an exhibition, what would you choose? That is essentially how Bodies in Motion started. The title came from Fleur Williams. She wrote the call for art, which inspired the artist to submit entries. And it turned out to bring in such a variety from so many countries. I'm really thrilled that Fleur Williams was generous enough to volunteer her time as juror and to work with her because her background is different than mine.
I'm turning now to Fleur, who has a marvelous background at Sarah Lawrence in New York and Roehampton University in England. Tell us a little bit about your fascination with dance anthropology and how it relates to this show.
I have always been fascinated by dance and how so many people around the world dance and express themselves through movement in different ways, and how it shows up in societies around the world, but it's really unique to that society, which tells us so much about the people that are participating in the dance and the culture in which they are immersed in. I started dance when I was very young, and in college had the wonderful opportunity to go to Bali, Indonesia. Up until that point, I'd been studying a lot of ballet and modern, but hadn't really been exposed to international dance forms. When I went to Bali, it really opened my eyes to how dance is so much of an expression of the people and their identity and their values, how it means something different to people around the world. From that point, I really sort of fell in love with how diverse dance was and how much it could paint the picture of a place and a people. From that point, I really made it one of my life passions to research, write, and learn as much as I could about dance and people around the world and how they express themselves through dance.
What excited you about the potentials of this show?
I thought this was a wonderful opportunity to learn about humanity and also bring people together. Cameron has been doing such a great job through the Chico Arts Center, reaching out to the community. This seemed to offer the opportunity to collaborate more with different parts of the art sector in Chico, with the dance community, with the visual art community, and the performing arts community, as well as to reach out to people around the world and really have that ripple effect where you're both working with people on a local level, but you're also engaging with people on a global level, and find an environment that would really sort of host that and bring attention to that.
What sort of a response did you get to this call for artists?
I was really impressed with how quickly people from around the world responded. I think that's partly due to modern technology, partly to the fact that I think it resonated with people on some level. It was really wonderful to see both visual artists and performing artists respond. The response that came back was diverse and enthusiastic, and has been a real honor to connect with these people from all different parts of the world, representing all different forms of dance and art.
Cameron, give us an overview of what people can expect in this marvelous exhibition.
If you had a chance to attend the reception, you would have experienced an anonymous performer performing a wearable art sculpture made by the artist from Philadelphia, Elizabeth Ayerly. This piece is a very textural body sculpture that encased the whole head and upper body so that the performer was unidentifiable. Yet completely animated by braided fabrics the artist had collected since childhood. So there's a color effect, there's a textural effect. There are goggles, one-way glass goggles. The wearer can see out of, but the viewers cannot see in. This piece is called The Spectator.
Is this still on display?
Absolutely. All month, the month of May, if you come and visit the exhibition, you will see the wearable art on a mannequin, so you can see the work up close. You miss the performance, but you will be able to see that sculptural piece and a photograph of that body in motion. So that's one of the first pieces you see. Further into the exhibition, you see a wooden toy. It's a sculpture, but it's really a toy. It's made to be interacted with. It has a handle. You turn it and you move the bodies. As you move further into the exhibition, you see oil paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings of a variety of different dancers in different poses and dancing styles, reflecting traditional dance, but interpreted. The artists are interpreting what they see, what this performance of the dancer is. What we know based on their statements is that some of them are trained in dance and this is their interest in representing dance, and some are not. Some are more interested in the lighting, the color, the form of the body. Our viewers, our public, when they come to see, I hope that they'll be considering those layers of creative filter that happen when dance is represented in the form of a painting, a sculpture, a video, a print, a photograph. There are many layers of interpretation happening here, embedded in some very entertaining visual effects. And I think that is the value of this exhibition.
Fleur, let's find out about those videos.
There are three different videos. One of them is a dancer, I think, who lives in the Bay Area, and she comes from Calcutta, India, and so her background is Bharatanatyam, which is an ancient classical Indian dance form. She shows through her video the ritualistic process of preparing for that dance. So there's a lot of painting her body, a lot of ritual preparation that goes into the dance. And then Bharatanatyam has a lot of intricate feet movement and gestures that tie into the Hindu storyline. Through her movement, she conjures up images of the Hindu religion. She transitions from that dance into sort of a Western process of movement, and that is her way of identifying with two cultural immersions that she's a part of, her Indian background through the dance, and then she transitions into this Western style clothing, and that's her way of showing that she has these two identities. There's another video of a gentleman named Mr. Jonathan Berger. He lives with an autoimmune disorder and spends a lot of his time inside. He talks about the difference between solitude and isolation and how he's come to terms with spending a lot of time on his own, how he has found a way to express himself in his limitations or despite his limitations. He dances to some oldies music and to some workout routines by Richard Simmons. You just see this freedom and joy of him expressing himself in a space that has been set up to symbolize a stage setting. It's a nice combination of being this formal presentation with this informal expression. Those are two very specific cases of individuals coming to terms with their identities in the world, how they fit into their environment. The third video represents a group called Bandaloop, who are based in the Bay Area. It's a group that started as a modern dance company, but they have now incorporated climbing into their routines. They now perform off of buildings and in nature, off of mountains. They travel all around the world. The artistic director says many people call it death-defying, whereas she calls it life-affirming. They've really found this freedom, this trust in each other to launch themselves off of these terrifyingly high buildings and mountains and walls, doing these beautiful dances that are vertical. They bounce off of buildings. This is a great way of seeing dance can happen anywhere, whether it's underwater, in the air, high above, way down below. It kind of reimagines the context of the stage. Expression and movement and dance can happen in a huge variety of places.
Cameron, can you give us the hours of the Chico Arts Center and where the Chico Arts Center is located?
450 Orange Street between 4th and 5th Street. It's in the train depot, just behind our wonderful Great Northern Coffee shop. We are open weekdays from noon to 4 and weekends from 10 to 4. We're open every day. We love to have you. And also during the month of May, which is when you'll come and see Bodies in Motion, you can also purchase a puzzle piece, which will be part of next month's exhibition called The Puzzle Show.
Thank you.
If you want this old world on a string, put on your dancing shoes, stop wasting time. Put on your dancing shoes, watch your spirits climb. Shall we dance or keep on moping? Shall we dance and walk on air? Shall we give in to despair? Or shall we dance with never a care? Life is short, we're growing older, don't you be an also-ran. You better dance, little lady, dance, little man. Dance whenever you can.
You can see the exhibit Bodies in Motion at the Chico Arts Center any day of the week for the rest of May. This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm giving you an interview so related to this season when artists are wanting to go outdoors and paint. I'm going to be speaking with plein air painter and watercolorist Nancy Sowarby, who is in an exhibition of water media that opens on Saturday, June 2nd. With a reception 4 to 7 and runs through the 30th of the month. Nancy, can you say a little bit about where the Paradise Art Center is located and what kinds of offerings are available?
The Paradise Art Center can be reached using the Skyway to Paradise. Turn at the traffic light on Pearson. You will come to Almond Street on the left. Turn left on Almond, and our address is 5564 Almond Street. You will recognize the building because of the large green awning in the front. Our phone number for further information is 530-877-7402.
And this is a multi-purpose facility that offers classes, exhibition, and other types of things as well. For those artists who have not painted for a while and want to get started, what kinds of instruction or informal watercolor workshops are available?
Mondays and Wednesdays from 9 to 12, we have watercolor classes taught by Kathy Presentati. Monday night is the group that has more beginners in it. The Wednesday program features people who have been painting for a longer time. We also have classes in acrylics and other water media projects. Plus, you can attend on an open studio day, which means you're free to work on any watercolor or water media project for 3 hours. The fee for that is just $2. There's no instruction, but we do critique other people's work. Many of the people bring in things that they have started at home and get the input of other people in the class.
Nancy, you've had quite a long journey from the East Coast to the West Coast, from Southern California to finally Paradise. Give us a kind of rundown on your journey.
I remember enjoying art from the very time I painted at the easel in kindergarten. When I was in perhaps sixth grade, a classmate had an aunt who was an artist, and we traveled to her farmhouse, which was built during the Revolutionary War. She gave us art instruction. We then would take a little break and go out in the field and pick blueberries.
And where was this?
In Pennsylvania, Chester County. I grew up in Montgomery County near Valley Forge. That was great fun. Later on, I moved to Southern California, had the advantage of painting outdoors in all those wonderful tourist spots, Laguna Beach Art Museum and the Laguna Beach School of Art were nearby, and so I was able to take advantage of that. And I painted for 9 years with the president of the National Watercolor Society at that time. Then we moved to Northern California, and I was able to meet new friends at the Paradise Art Center. The first day I walked in, there were people there at Open Studio working on their own projects. I came with my watercolor equipment and sat down and chatted, and I have been there now for 14 years, making friends and enjoying the classes.
I hope this encourages all the listeners who have wanted to start painting again or to start from scratch. The Paradise Art Center is an extremely friendly place to do that. Tell us about your plein air painting enthusiasms.
When I was in Southern California, as I said, there were many places to paint. When I moved up here, I didn't see as many palm trees. I now saw the green spruce and evergreen trees. And we have an organized group now that does plein air instruction. I'm painting with my friends right now because I've been doing it for so long. You can get involved with that. But in addition to the watercolor classes I mentioned, we also have acrylic classes as well as oil painting. But we're mostly talking about the water media classes because those are the things that will be featured in our upcoming show.
And that upcoming show has many paintings inspired by going out of doors, painting in the open air, plein air, trying to capture the atmosphere and look of a particular place. I'm looking at your painting based on being in an olive grove.
I had an opportunity to go to an olive grove. The owner and manager studied in Europe and uses techniques for preparing the olive oil. She even did a tasting for us. So I tasted olive oil like I've never tasted before. Some of it was flavored with cinnamon, some with various fruits. It was really a new experience for me.
Why did you choose this particular grand old tree?
I didn't have to walk very far. I parked my car, and when I saw this massive tree, or combination of trees, I was so impressed by the roots that I thought, I need go no farther. I want to paint this. And then there were some interesting things in the background, an old ladder, some barrels. I thought, well, I had been there the year before and chose a different scene. But I usually look for the most interesting shapes. And then I do some sketches and put them together. I move things around till I get the composition that I want. This particular painting, like most of mine, are rather delicate and impressionistic. unlike my acrylic paintings, which are hard edge and feature brilliant colors.
What are some of the challenges of painting out of doors?
First of all, you have to find a comfortable place. I usually look for an area where the sun is on the subject and I'm in the shade, so that I don't have shadows and problems from the glare of the paper with the sun shining on it. I make myself comfortable. One time last year when we went to the covered bridge off Honey Run Road, I couldn't figure out why every time I moved, the yellow jackets followed me. I finally realized that I had one tube of paint and I had squeezed that on my palette. It had honey in it.
Oh, no.
And it was my paints. So I don't put that on my paint palette when I'm going outdoors anymore.
Well, plein air paintings have to share the environment of everything else that lives there. If you go to this exhibition of water media painting at the Paradise Art Center, you will see a large number of different styles and subjects and approaches. It's a wonderful way to get yourself going creatively and to decide on a direction you want to explore yourself.
Yes, there will be abstract things as well as realistic things. You'll see a great variety because all of our painters seem to go in different directions. Some of them are painting still life arrangements. Not all of them are going to be landscapes. Some are very, very abstract. Others will feature paintings on Yupo paper, which gives you a totally different feeling. It should be very interesting.
Well, it's wonderful. There is no pressure to adapt to a certain set style common among the artists.
Many new techniques are being featured with our instructors, so you do get a broad smattering of things.
Nancy, for those who have never been to a Paradise Art Center reception, June 2nd, what should they expect? And also remind us of when it takes place.
Saturday the 2nd from 4 till 7. Most people love to come to the receptions because they have a chance to meet the artists. They will also enjoy refreshments.
And remind us once more where Paradise Art Center is located.
You will make a right on Pearson and go to Almond, which is approximately 2 blocks away. You can't miss the Art Center because of the large green canopy. Our phone number is 530-877-7402.
We'll see you there.
The song is for the painter.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program in its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.